Hello, my dearest tribe of Gaia, all people on the planet now. This is Solara Anra, warrior of the light, and I'm coming to you to bring the wisdom of the star beings of the Pleiadian, Sirian, and Andromedan councils that I work with. I've been guided tonight to teach you a very simple technique, which I love to teach all groups that I work with. I'm very fond of quick fixes on a spiritual level. I really believe that there are short, easy, practical tools that we can use in our ascension process. And this one gives you a glimpse or a taste of what it's like to exist in the fourth or fifth dimension through going into the breathless state. This is the state which is also called samadhi, or bliss, by the yogis. And how I teach this is through the perfect sigh. A perfect sigh is one that you do consciously rather than unconsciously. Usually you would sigh when you're either angry or frustrated, like this. Or you might sigh for a good reason. You might sigh when you're making love or when you're having a massage, and that might sound like this. And this is a conscious sigh, which sounds different. There is no control whatsoever with your out-breath. So that you have a very long, slow in-breath, breathing in for longer than you usually would, so that the breath comes right up into your throat. And when you breathe out, there is no control at all, so it's very short and explosive. So you breathe in through your nose like this. Do it with me now. Hold it for a couple seconds, and as you breathe out, let it go explosively without any control through your mouth. And what happens at the end of the out-breath? Because you've had such a big in-breath and then let it go so quickly, is there's amazing pause. There's an amazing, delicious feeling, stillness, and a pause in your breath before you take the next in-breath. This is a short interval of breathlessness, which you can consciously extend as long as you're not forcing it. As long as you feel blissfully quiet and still, there's a pause before your next in-breath comes in again, very gently. So I want you to try this once more. You're going to breathe in through your nose now. Very big breath. Hold it for a couple of seconds and let go without any control. And now sink into that blissful pause. You are now in a timeless zone. Outside of the boundaries of time and space. And when your in-breath returns, it is still and soft and gentle. This perfect sigh does more than simply bring you into the force or fifth dimension, into the timeless space. You can use it to shift your emotional state of being at any moment from one of tension, anxiety, hurrying, panic, anger, depression. You can use it just with one sigh to shift that emotional state into a higher vibration of peace and acceptance and joy. And you can do this at any time of the day. So So if you work in an office and you've got to the point in the day where you think you might strangle your boss or burst into tears, you can go off to the loo or the restroom in the case of the nearest listeners, and you can close that door and sit on the toilet and just do a perfect sigh and choose to shift your state of being into one that is happier and more joyful and more peaceful and accepting. So I'm going to take callers now. If anyone has a question, then please call in. The instructions are on my website page or on the BBS radio website page. And I would like you to ask questions that don't require a yes or no answer or a future prediction. So my work with my guides is not the same as going to someone, a psychic or a medium or a channeler for a reading, where you're saying what your problem is and wanting an answer or a prediction in the future. Try and ask questions that are more about drawing the wisdom of these higher beings out for everyone else to hear. I understand that your personal life revolves around your personal circumstances. I'm going to channel right now before I take questions, and one of your questions might be stimulated from what is coming through tonight. I never know what I'm going to do until I'm in the moment, but just before the show, my guide gave me a hint that they were going to talk about the true meaning of unity consciousness. There are these terms which are bandied about in the spiritual communities, which a lot of people don't fully understand, terms like unity consciousness and Christ consciousness, which are both ways of being that we are moving into as we move into the fifth dimensional frequencies, as we move towards our ascension. And they want to talk about unity consciousness in a practical way. I ground myself into the heart of Gaia and expand my energy body. And I ask for the highest guidance possible to flow through me now with whatever we on Gaia need to hear in this moment. Dear children of light, we see those of you who are listening to this message. We see you in this moment as specks of light on the earth as we look into the third dimensional frequency you occupy. We see you as dots of light, as human beings who have switched themselves on. In your openness, in your willingness to be connected with us. This, as in all other aspects of your lives, is because of your intention and because of your willingness to be open to the new energies, to higher energies, rather than being stuck continuously in the density of the third dimension, which makes it extremely difficult for you to learn or progress or evolve. And so, as promised, we will speak on unity consciousness, on what this term signifies, and how you can use this term and willingness to move into unity consciousness to make yourselves happier. For is this not the task at hand? To make yourselves happier and more peaceful, that you may spread this new vibration to those around you and heal your planet and your tribe. We remind you of this constantly, for many spiritual workers are so serious about their task of enlightening themselves and others that they forget that the point is that you will become happy, and that you should be happy while in the process of getting there. And they are wanting me to point out that they are often joking with you. And even in listening to them, when you think that something might, that they might be joking, you think, no, they're star beings, they're enlightened beings, they can't be joking. But they really make me smile and giggle even while I'm channeling them, because I'm very much here. And they are joking with you about how serious you are. I'm going to go back to the message. Unity consciousness refers to your state of mental and emotional being. To this state of emotional and mental being as one tribe, as of the same energy. Now, you may think that you are open-minded, that you are receptive to all others, and are working at being less judgmental. But for many of you, particularly those of you who live in high density areas, your sense of defensiveness against the others around you has become so inbred, so natural, that you do not realize the extent to which you do not consider all others the same as yourself. In fact, in spiritual groups, there are many who are extremely judgmental about those who are not spiritual or who do not seem to be. And the conspiracy theorists and the information which is given to you through them, much of this information causes you to perceive those who have held the power on your Earth planet as bad, as the baddies, as the enemy. Now, it is not possible for you to move into unity or Christ consciousness with this understanding, with this belief that you are better than any other. Each soul on earth, each and every soul, is on their own path of evolution. Some are choosing a more tricky way than others. Some are choosing a less obvious way to evolve. They are choosing to stay stuck in the mire, in the mud, in the dirt. They are choosing to stay stuck and to suffer in order to eventually come to the realization that there is more, that there must be more. And the dark night of the soul that many experience in extreme crisis is simply the darkness of the storm before the sun's rays come through again. You have experienced this yourself. Many of you, have you not? You have experienced
this dark night of the soul, where you are in a void from which you cannot imagine anything possible, anything positive, rather, will come. And yet it comes. And you are eventually able to look backwards and see with clarity what has been learned and what you have benefited from in this journey. And so our message is simple, that regarding unity consciousness, you must and will come to a place where you understand that every single other being on your planet, and indeed on other planets, is simply another version of the God, Goddess force, which is you. It is easier to accept this in a neutral way while envisaging that you send love and peace to every other being, whether they are lost, whether they are asleep, whether they are a criminal, or whether they are an enlightened master. And so perhaps you can use this technique of visualizing, sending your love to all others, to those who are asleep and awake, to those who have been in a role of controlling the masses, and to those who have been controlled, for all of them must and will shift. And we say that regarding the Ascended Master you know as Jesus Christ, this is something that you can identify within his words and way of being. Even those stories about him and words of him that have been distorted cannot hide that his way of being and his teachings were about loving one another as you love yourselves. Namaste. And I have Deborah from New Jersey online too. Greetings, Deborah. You have a question for the guides?
Greetings, Solara. I just would like to say I'm so happy you're on Tuesdays because that's my day off.
Fantastic.
Yes, thank you. I would like to ask your guides, this is not in reference to the message, but a question I had previous about orbs that are now appearing in photographs and digital photographs in particular, what they are and how come some are different than others. I was wondering if they could give us some guidance on those.
Oh, I'm very happy with that question because I haven't ever heard my guides talking about orbs, and so I'm very interested in what they have to say. I have a recent experience with them in that in Mount Shasta, when I went with my group into Pluto Caves, everybody's photographs had an incredible amount of orbs in them. I mean, to the extent that, you know, there's certain photos you can look at and think, okay, that's might be something to do with the way the sun is shining, or it might be something to do with dust. But there was absolutely no question in any of our minds about that being the case. And the only other time where I photographed so many orbs was in a completely dark little chamber with no dust whatsoever when I was trying to get a photograph of the Sekhmet statue in Karnak Temple. And the orbs there were just as crazy to the extent that I thought there was something wrong with my camera. And I have had a couple of people make comments about the Pluto Cave, saying that because of the dust that is raised by your feet in the cave, That's what the orbs have to do with, and I know for an absolute 100% fact that that's not the case. So I asked my guides for any information about orbs and why orbs look so different, and yes, anything you can teach us about that phenomenon. Pleiadian Council, come to answer this question with great joy, as you know we love the playful aspect of spiritual awakening, not only on the earth plane, but in all of the universes. And for us, the emergence of orbs as a spiritual phenomenon is greatly playful. There are spirit forms, energy forms, which show themselves, or rather who show themselves, through this phenomenon, and this accounts for the difference in color, shape, and size. For as you know, there are many Devic spirits on the earth plane, the ones you call fairies and nature spirits, which are small and gentle in nature, and the orbs that relate to them are small and gentle in nature. And even within the Devic kingdom, there are those forces which are much larger and more powerful and emit more energy and light. And these ones show themselves as such, as larger and more powerful. To some extent, it is easier to capture colored orbs simply because these larger and more powerful beings are able to express themselves this way. In other words, there are smaller orbs which might be colorful if those beings were able to project themselves more powerfully. And so we speak about the cave in which you found yourselves, more correctly, a tunnel which still holds the energy of the inside passages and caverns of the great Mount Shasta itself. You, on this day, were guided to tune in to the guardians and spirits of the land before entering this place. You were guided to channel about this, and within this time space, your group opened themselves on a heart level in love and gratitude to all beings present in this place, to the beings who held the energies of this place intact, to the caretakers and guardians of the land in this place. And was this not then being manifested in your photographs, that these beings show themselves to you, made their presence known, in love and gratitude for your acknowledgement of them? This can be confirmed within your heart space. Is it not that those who begin to photograph orbs become excited? And is it not that there are too few instances on the earth plane which allow for the mystery of the invisible worlds to be acknowledged? Some mystery is good. It is fun. It is a great game and a great wonder for us to see you playing with your photographs and attempting to analyze them. And we say that it is not good to be fixed in your opinions about which orbs represent which beings, but simply to know that it is in truth energy beings, not usually visible to you within your light spectrum, who are being made visible in these photographs. To be sure, there are some light and dust effects which are captured within digital photography, but there are others that you see that are without doubt the work of the magic of the universe, encouraging you to believe that the invisible may be made visible to you, just as some of you listening now actually see us, the Pleiadians. You see us in different ways. You do not all see us as 6.5 feet tall with blonde hair and blue eyes. Some of you see us as blue-white lights, much like orbs. And some of you see us as light beings, like humanoid light forms. And this is okay. For you to perceive our energies in different ways. It is okay not to see us at all, but simply to feel us as love frequency through your emotional bodies. All of these are okay. You seem to want yes or no answers. You seem to want things to be in black and white. You seem to want to know the answers to all of the mysteries. And we encourage you to be in the joy and the fun of simply what is, and allow there to be some mysteries in your lives. We hope we have answered your question sufficiently, dear one. Namaste. Deborah?
Yes.
Hi. Did you get that?
Yes, it was lovely. And as I suspected, and just perfect. And I also seem to notice that whenever I photograph joyful occasions, there seem to be more. So I was glad to hear about the emotional aspect of the orbs also.
Oh, yes, definitely. And also I've noticed that people that love orb photographs just simply get more orbs. You know, it's when you're kind of tuned into that phenomenon that you get more.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Excellent. So great. Love and thanks, Deborah. Love and thanks to you.
Thank
and love
you.
To everyone in New Jersey.
Thank you very much.
I have information about Mount Shasta as well that some of you are calling for through your questions. There are several of you who are listening at the moment that have questions about the underground world in Mount Shasta that was drawn to the surface through your listening about the lava tubes, what my guide said about the lava tunnels that have come out from the inside of the mountain. Now, I have never been particularly tuned in to the underground worlds. My guides forced me to read Patricia Corrie's books, where she's channeling the Syrian councils, And quite a lot of information came through about the underground worlds. And I say forced me because a lot of those books have an element of now I know that the things that are revealed are incredibly enlightening and helpful to a lot of people, but I just have a total aversion to anything that I can tell will make people go into fear. And there were certain things there that I felt people were going into fear through reading them. And for myself, I had a resistance, a mental resistance about just thinking about the underground worlds. It just, I was so used to thinking about the star beings and the energy up that I found it quite difficult to think about light beings down. And these beings I know exist, but the first time I've actually channeled one was in this recent trip to Mount Shasta, where we were in an amazing place that Ashlyn of Shasta Vortex company took us to, called Sand Flats on Mount Shasta, which she knows to be a gateway into the underworld. And she led us in a meditation there. And the result of that was that I channeled Adama. And I don't know whether Adama or Adama is going to speak now, but I'm asking for a message either about or from the underground worlds of Agartha or Talos or any underground cities. And I ask for only those of the highest light to speak through me now with any message about these underground worlds.
You may be surprised, Zalara and Ra, that there are many of the lights on the earth plane now who identify more easily with a light tribe within the planet than they do with a light tribe on other worlds outside of Terra. Adama, as a spokesperson for the cities of light below, can and will speak through you.
And as I'm told this by my guides, I have the same sensation that I had before of Adama literally moving into my body, which is not something that I feel in that exact way very often with my other guides. He feels like a human being made out of light, and he has long hair and is long fair hair. I don't know whether it's silver or blonde. And he has a robe on that I feel, with flared sleeves, a bit like a priest would wear. The sleeves are falling quite heavily and low off my arms. The robe is bluey white, and his whole essence to me is bluey white. And I ask if he has a message for us in this moment.
A tribe, you are in transition. It is therefore that you are able to shift worlds, to shift between dimensions. You have a concept that higher dimensions are above the earth. Some of you understand that higher dimensions are accessible to you exactly where you are in the space where you sit stand or lie in this moment, but less of you are aware that there are higher dimensional frequencies created through the light society within your planet. Earth has been home to inner civilizations for longer than you assume. The greatest seedings of Earth within the planet came through the collapse and destruction of Lemuria and Atlantis over many thousands of years. There were those in the know who created underground cities of light before the collapse of Atlantis, and these were based upon the light civilizations and the light cities in architectural aspect of Atlantis. You understand that we in Atlantis achieved many spiritual technologies which you are only glimpsing now. And those of you who are destined to bring these to the forefront of your Earth technology, it is often that you are being assisted by us, so that we are guiding you from inner Earth, just as the Ascended Masters guide you from their dimensions. The Ascended Masters have been on your Earth and understand your situation and are therefore able to shift you into higher states of consciousness through the information they bring you. We in the inner planes, we are experts at spiritual technology, particularly those using sound and crystals. For both sound and crystals directly use vibrational frequency, directly use understanding of vibrational frequency to shift people, groups, cities, buildings, civilizations into higher frequencies. Having a head start in this way through our forefathers who developed these technologies in Atlantis, we come now to seed or reseed this knowledge within you, many of whom chose to leave the Earth plane at the time of the disasters and return now on the surface. You have a karmic link with us, therefore, as these agreements were made. We work for the Order of Melchizedek, as do you, most of you, now working towards the divine plan consciously. You are of the Order of Melchizedek, as are we, which is simply an umbrella organization, which is at the forefront of the new age of the shift into this higher frequency, higher dimensional period on the Earth plane. Asking for a question now, I have Echo from Slovenia on line 2. I don't know whether he... Hello, Echo.
I don't know whether you are asking a question from Adama himself, but my guidance was to let you speak now. Echo, are you with me? If you have a question, the line is very bad, so just say your question directly.
Oh, hi, Salila. Can you hear me? This is Tisani.
Yes, hi, Tisani. Please give me your question.
Hi. Okay. The question is about the unity consciousness. Is this something that everybody will slip into as the whole planet ascends? Or is this something that we all should work on individually to develop?
So the question, if you didn't hear, from Tetsani, who is someone I know from workshops, a great friend of mine, who was given the name Tetsani as part of his Atlantean connection. He's asking about unity consciousness, whether we should work on this individually within ourselves or whether this is something which the whole earth is just going to move into. And I was channeling Adama. That was very interesting. It was slightly challenging for me mentally because I'm not used to him, and it was making me a bit nervous that I was speaking him. But I look forward to listening back to what he said. So I'm not sure whether this answer is going to come from Adama or from my other guides. So Adama is going to continue to speak now because that's why I was being prompted to take the question from Tetsani. So I've never had anybody asking a question of this. I won't say he's a guide, actually. He's not my guide. He's just a guide for Earth. He's just one of the beings of inner Earth who is most prominent in assisting us on the surface of Earth now. And he's going to answer Tetsani's question about unity consciousness. This is the exact arena in which the light tribes or civilizations of inner Earth are expert. I am greatly proud to say this, to acknowledge that my civilization, that which with I have assisted in developing the city in which I live and civilization, which is seeded from this place, is in a state of unity consciousness. And in this sense, we are on the fifth dimensional frequency, which you aspire to reach. For us, unity consciousness, simplified, is simply a state of being in love. You know that being in love feels great. Your vibration is literally singing when you are experiencing being in love. And Salara Anra, star being guides, have taught through her that what you aspire to is being in love with life, with all aspects of life. Focusing on that which allows you to feel that love vibration, which means focusing on that which you want more of. And I'm getting a slight crossed line here, which sometimes happens to me. in that my Pleiadian guides want to speak, and I feel like they're crossing over from Adama. So I'm just asking to be clear about who is speaking now. And it is the Pleiadian Councils of Light. Adama was saying, he very clearly wanted to answer that question. He was saying that he was very proud that his civilization was living in unity consciousness. And he almost couldn't understand how difficult it was for us to grasp what it is or what we should be doing about it, because they are already in that state. And he said the simplest way to explain it was being in love, but not just with one other person, with your love partner, but just a general state of feeling love for all other beings and situations. And then the Pleiadians started to cross over and talk, because they've spoken through me before about the concept of being in love, and if we could just create that feeling where you are head over heels in love, and you therefore feel happy, and you love everyone, you see the best in everyone and everything because you're in love. If you could just choose to do that anyway, regardless of whether you have a love partner at the time or not, that would solve all of your problems. That's simply one way to move into unity consciousness, Christ consciousness, bliss, peace, and the fifth dimension. Tetsani is gone now. I'm not sure who else has a question, but I'm going to ask my guides if they have... Tetsani, are you there still?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, so what did you think about that answer so far?
Sorry, I didn't hear it well. I was listening to you on the phone and also on my speaker, so it was kind of a not very really understood, but I hope there is a recording of this whole show so I can listen to it again.
Yes, from this point, I will put the radio shows on archive on my website. I haven't done that up till now, but today is my first solo radio show. And so I will get organized and update my profile on the BBS site. And I will ask you, actually, as a listener, Tetsani, I haven't made the decision to have a particular focus for a certain show, and I rather stay in the moment with what's going to be spoken about. But do you think it would be better to have a particular focus for a show and to announce what I was going to do beforehand?
Yes, I think that would be good. You know, people would have also some time to prepare and get with some, you know, very good questions, which would be helpful also for some other folks on the phone.
Yeah, great. In which case, if anyone has particular questions or things beforehand, they can email me, and my guides will direct me as to which direction to go for a show. My email is Solara, S-O-L-A-R-A, at solara.org.uk. So love and thank you, Tetsani. Love and thanks to you. I want to
love and thank you, Solara Indra.
Thank you. Bye. I'm being prompted to talk about the 11-11-11 conference that I have set up for Sedona next year, obviously the 11th of November next year. We're just moving towards the 11th of November this year, and there's a global meditation which has been set up, and I'll have the details about that to encourage others to do that. It's not me who's initiated that, but many, many people around the world will be doing that meditation and focus on peace on Earth at 11:11 on the 11th of November. So only just over a week away. And next year on the 11-11-11, I am doing a conference which is not like me because I'm not a hugely conference-orientated person. I've never particularly enjoyed conferences where there's an audience sitting in chairs and then there are speakers up there and they do their bit for an hour or an hour and a half and it goes on to the next speaker and that's it. And what you're doing mostly is listening. Even if it's interesting, I have a resistance to just sitting through a lot of talks. I like things to be much more experiential. And in my work with groups and with the tribe on Gaia, I love nothing more than big groups of people moving into a certain state of consciousness together. So I've been guided to set up a conference simply because it means that I'll be teaching and working with others, with other teachers, which is one of the things that I'm so keen to do at the moment, is to show unity consciousness through the leaders and the teachers of the tribe, to show that all sorts of different people can come together. And in this instance, there's a combination of Western and Indigenous teachers and leaders who are coming together for my conference. And the whole weekend is going to be experiential as much as possible so that you won't be simply being spoken to, so that you're absorbing someone else's learnings, that everybody on the stage or the platform will be working with you, teaching you techniques, and we'll be experiencing things together. We'll be doing this in the 11-11-11 energies, which are going to be incredibly powerful. The energy of 10-10-10 was phenomenal. And when my guide showed me through my third eye how many people in that 24-hour period were actually celebrating, were toning, were using crystals and their clear intention to awaken those who are still sleeping and to bring peace and harmony and the new age into being on earth, I cried because they said that literally 10 times more people than had ever been together before with that united intention on earth were celebrating that day and doing their own rituals and meditations and gatherings. And I've been guided to do something where I can have more people because my event in Manchester, I was only going to take 22 and it sold out instantly. So I took 23, but I had loads of people on the waiting list and I just wanted to do something where I can have more people for the 11-11-11 and where I'm working with more other teachers. So I've decided that the Friday, which is the 11th, is going to be a completely free day, and it won't be just a ceremony. I'm still securing the land that we'll do it on in Sedona, but it will be a day gathering where they'll be singing and they'll be chatting and picnic lunching next to a river and that type of thing. So it will just be a gathering of tribe that everyone can come to because there'll be no charge. And then on the 12th and 13th, which are the Saturday and Sunday, will be the conference at a wonderful venue, the Sedona Creative Life Center, which has a marvelous address as well. When I went to see it at first, I realized, wow, the address is 333, which is always a good sign for me. I love the number synchronicities. And yes, I really encourage you to come along, or if not, to come along there just to celebrate the 11-11 and all of the dates that are coming up because the energy at everyone is intensifying. And I am presuming that on that date next year, there'll be at least 11 times more than have been gathered, you know, together on earth to do something like that, including the 10-10-10. I wanted to mention that because that is really about using our intention to move into unity consciousness, gathering together as much as possible in groups. That's what we need to do. I'm going to take one more question, which is from Naomi in the UK.
Yes. Hi, Lara. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Naomi. What's your question?
I would like to know more about how the pyramids in Egypt and in Mexico and other places on our globe came to be, and which celestial beings were involved.
Okay. She's asking if you didn't hear about the pyramids and other sacred sites and buildings on Gaia, how they came into being and what their purpose is. I ask for the high scatties to flow through me now. Our time is short in answering this, and so we will be concise. All sacred sites are placed consciously upon the earth plane. They were assisted through various ascended masters in their inspiration, whether the making of them and the makers of them were aware of this or not. They are like acupuncture needles harnessing the energy of Gaia, the natural electromagnetic frequency which flows through her veins. And together they create a light grid. Their original purpose was, through the creation of this light grid, to allow human beings to reach a higher state of consciousness. They were, in effect, an ascension tool. And now, those energies having been disrupted between sacred sites, and sometimes within the sites themselves, through the devolution of societies and civilizations which have been there, through their forgetting and moving state of consciousness, this is now being reversed. And many of you, particularly of the Order of Melchizedek, are assisting in this reconnection through your visiting of the sacred sites, through your meditations and work with crystals in the sacred sites, which reignite the power of them and of the crystals, which are etherically in their energy bodies, for a sacred site or a building such as the Great Pyramid has its own energy body, has its own frequency, has its own pranatube, just as you, dear light girl, have these aspects within your energy. Namaste. So I do believe that our time is up now. And I hope that short answer was enlightening, Naomi.
Yes, brilliant. Thank you so much.
Great love and thanks to you. Huge, huge, huge love and gratitude to all of you on this planet who are awake and awakening now. I send my love to you. I encourage you to listen to and hear and feel the love and messages from the star beings, from the inner councils of light of the inner earth, from the dolphins, from all those working towards our ascension and our healing on planet Earth now. Namaste.